Hi, and welcome to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hi, Alana.
Hi, David. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. And it's good also to see our friends on Getter because this Hard Truth we are streaming live on Getter, and also it'll go out to all our friends over on Rumble as well. So, as part of our plan to conquer the universe, this is what we're doing. So, So anyway, a big warm welcome to all those people, wherever you're watching, myself and Alana. We appreciate your support, don't we, Alana? And obviously, guys, please subscribe, hit notifications so that you get all the stuff that comes out. And also, can I just say, by the way, Alana, this is just for you. Can I say to all my friends on Getter, please make sure you follow Alana Mercer on Getter because Alana deserves a much bigger following. And because of the tech, we've talked about this, Alana, previous episodes, and I'm sure we'll come back to
Oh, David, I annoy everybody. I poke at everybody from all sides, so I understand if nobody wants to follow me, that's fine.
Well, I'm sure they do
I'm
because
just
I
not a
think.
crowd pleaser.
Well, of course, we come to speak truth, not necessarily to praise Caesar. And
Yes.
so it is tonight, folks. So what I'm going to do, this is the excitement of course, doing stuff, doing all this business live. I'm just wanting to have a quick little look over. Yes, there's people starting to join on Getter. Hi, everyone over there. Good to see you. And say hello, send hearts, let us know. That hi Angela, good to see my friends. Actually, Alana, again, short time, but one of the things I found on Getter in particular is when I was taken off Twitter, I lost a lot of good people, good friends, and they have now started to move on to this the Getter platform in particular, which is nice. So I kind
Yes.
of feel like, the band's getting back together again after a
Oh,
couple
David,
of years of
you have
illness.
a way with social media. You really do. You
I
have a
just
knack for it, yeah.
well, I think I have the ability to annoy people equally as well. Maybe that's something we share in common. So, Alana, anyway, we've got packed topics to go through tonight, I guess.
Yes,
And
where do you want to start? I thought something that stood out to me was the hostage attack. In fact, you exported a gentleman
yeah.
from the UK to Colleyville Beth Israel Synagogue, where some very interesting events took place. A lot of nuance there that the media failed to cover, and let's tease some of it out. Well, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I mean, who says Britain can't export around the world? The only problem is we're exporting jihad around the world, which is a bit tricky. But yeah, this was a shocker story, Alana. It's one of these ones that comes along, and it initially broke over here in the UK. All I saw it was a headline, British man in synagogue attack in the US. And you
Oh,
instantly know when they say British man,
it's the witness protection program for, can we say Muslims? For
Oh,
Muslims.
yeah, we can say whatever we want. Yeah,
For practitioners of the religious of peace, all right?
it absolutely is. So he was a British man, and then all the details kind of have slowly emerged. But at this end, at the UK end of it, Alana, what we know is he came from a very radicalized community in an English city called Blackburn. That's where he came from. He came from a radical mosque. He attended a radical mosque. He came, he, this is a, I'm going to ask you a question in a second. He's on record as having wanted to be on one of the flights that flew on 9/11. He wanted to be on those aircraft.
Ambitious bugger.
He was very ambitious. That was a dream. And then I think he did spend time in prison and whatnot. And then he got released. And then Alana, and now I open it to you. This guy got into the US. I don't think I could get into the
That's
USA.
absolute no. And my family neither, from South Africa. They couldn't. Not even if they came over the southern border, because David, they're the wrong color. Although my anti-Semitic readers remind me that I'm not white. One of my editors says you're at least as white as George Zimmerman. In any case, yeah, I mean, there has never been a time that the FBI you know, the prime law enforcement agency in the country, the principal federal law enforcement agency in the country, has actually, you know, stymied a jihad plot. There hasn't. There just hasn't. And this was the same year. I mean, other than when they do one of their entrapments, you know, when they set up some low IQ Abdul and they say, hey, we're going to sell you some arms for jihad. Want a bite?
Yeah.
That's the only time the FBI actually catches. And this was the same year. So they let him in. He wasn't on any watch lists. And this is categorically how the FBI operates. And they were pretty shameful in this incident. There was no reporting. The incident happened on the 16th. Mm-hmm. On the 17th, we heard that the hostages had been, what did it say there? It said they had been, local police and the FBI breached the building and ended their 12-hour ordeal. And the chronically incurious, the murky details were compounded by our chronically incurious media, even murkier maladaptive media, that asked no questions whatsoever. So it transpired, you had to wait a little while, in fact, for quite an audacious escapee. The rabbi was too humble and probably quite woke to say anything about the FBI, but all he was saying is that he came up with this plot. He thought his situational awareness was such that he thought on his feet. He threw a chair at the gunman, and he urged his four congregants to escape. And we saw that video. But other than that, it was not clear. The media portrayed it as if the FBI had anything to do with it. A day later, a typical of Jewish truth-telling, we don't keep quiet, a chubby gentleman said, the FBI didn't free us. It wasn't the rabbi who came out with that. Mm. Did you see that?
No, it didn't. That's interesting. So how did they get free then?
The rabbi's initiative, this very placid and quiet, humble young man who came on television and was so obedient, and he was extremely, you could see he was shocked to the core. But he was so proper that he didn't say a thing about how it happened. All he said is he was thanking the FBI for previous training. They clearly, the synagogue had training prior. But the FBI, other than stand around and show up in full SWAT, the FBI didn't do a thing. He just said, you know, we thank the FBI for training. He didn't say previous training, but it transpired that they must have had training. Okay. What happened is that this gentleman saw that it's 12 hours on and the SWAT hasn't done anything and negotiations are not going well. So this very mild-mannered rabbi saw the man was getting frazzled and distracted, threw a chair at him, conspired quietly with his congregants, and they fled. They fled. They knew one door was open and they fled with no shot fired, but it was not the FBI. And I think that's very instructive.
Isn't it just? I mean, one of the things that happened this side of the channel was we know, for example, that a relative of the guy, the jihadi concerned, his relatives, local Labour MP in Blackburn. That's lovely, isn't it? So one of the, I want to just bring up on screen, Alana, an article that was put up on one of my websites, Alt News Media. And basically, it's very anecdotal, of course, but this was where someone went into the community from which this guy, Malik Faisal Akram.
I read it. It was fascinating.
Yeah, I think that's an anagram of suicidal lunatic. But anyway, Malik Faisal Akram. It's like the Alt News Media team went there and they talked to local people. It was well known, this guy, Alana, everyone knew what this guy was. It wasn't a surprise. His family, everyone knew what they were. Naturally, of course, then we got trotted out the mental illness, you know, lone. You've heard all these before, all the cliched stuff. And I don't know how, yeah, I mean, we had the Muslim Council of Britain saying that, you know, we've got to watch out for these events because they could stoke division and hate. Well, hang on a second, Alana. They are division and hate. They're murderous. And this guy.
The embodiment of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I thought that was it was interesting. And obviously, this story's now gone dead in the UK. Nobody's interested in it.
The same here. It just didn't have legs. It wasn't a heroic FBI SWAT story. No. In fact, it was the people. The people rescued themselves despite this obscenely well-armed, militarized force that we have. And the other thing that I was impressed with the Jewish community, and I would love for the Christian faith community to follow suit, and I've said that many times, the FBI went pro forma once again. What, as you said, what is the pro forma mantra that they sing after not catching jihadis, letting them loose, sometimes even employing them? Some of them were actually employed by FBI, previous terrorists. But anyhow, they claim this is a lone wolf incident. What's more, in the case of the Jewish, the Beth Israel synagogue, nothing to do with Jewishness, nothing to do with Jews, totally random. This is another thing. And immediately they were put on the spot by Jewish leaders who were having absolutely none of this. And please, if only Christian leaders would take note. And because they never pipe up, every day we have, you know, in the matter of the countries, black on white, daily hate crimes, daily. We have them, and we never mention the culprits, and we never mention the underlying, simmering, institutionally incited hatred of whites. If only Christian leaders did the same and said, that beautiful young woman who was killed in a furniture store, beautiful girl, 24, an architect, killed by obviously a swarthy gentleman. That was a hate crime. Someone wanted to wipe out that promise, that beauty. If only the Christian leadership, the faith community, would do exactly what the Jewish leaders have done. Not let the FBI get away with this random mental illness, that sort of bullshit.
See, Alana, one of my theories, I mean, I think the FBI kind of collude with this. That's what and actually the same in the US, it's no different over here. It's the same with the British intelligence services as well. It's exactly the same both sides of the channel. You know, that these jihadi seem to be in plain sight, and they get away with it until something happens. And I'm just thankful that no lives of worth were lost. The fact that he was shot dead, I'm not going to weep too many tears about. So it was a bit of a shocker story. But anyway, we do have a, I'll tell you, Alana, we got a tight action packed here. So what we're going to do now is let's talk about boosters. Let's talk about boosters, shall we?
Your favorite, yes.
Yeah, well, it's one of my, yeah. And actually,
Mr. Pureblood.
Mr. Pureblood, yeah, non-GMO. I'm non-GMO blooded, Alana, as indeed are a lot of the people that seem to follow me. Now, we've had a big day in the UK, has to be said, because the UK, you may or may not have seen this, has Boris Johnson has pretty much relaxed all COVID restrictions today.
Congratulations.
No masks, no past COVID passports, no, none of that. That's all gone today. No, he did that for political reasons. His neck was on the chart.
All the parties,
yeah, exactly. So politicians, as you know, they're the most mendacious lot ever. So he's throwing that red meat to keep his backbenchers happy so that, so there won't be a rebellion against him. But here's the thing, and that's what brings us, actually, Alana, to the story we want to talk about. He's still talking about boosters. He's still saying, we're not going to make you wear masks. We're not going to do this, that, and the other. But get your booster, because the booster offers the best. Someone's called me David Organic Vance. I prefer GMO, non-GMO actually. So that's what's happened in the UK. Some of the regulations have gone, Alana, but the boosters remain.
So, but are they mandated, David?
Good question. Not for all. Currently, they're mandated for anyone working in healthcare. So that means the NHS, which is a monstrous organization. There's about 100,000 NHS workers have not taken any jabs, never mind boosters. They've got to the 3rd of February to take their first jab so they can have the second one by the 1st of April or they're sacked.
And remain employed, yeah. Well, the Supreme Court just about echoed the same kind of ruling in our country, in the United States, saying that federally employed healthcare workers will also have to comply. And in fact, the Conservative bench went along with that to their disgrace.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, the Supreme Court. I saw a lot of people going, this is great news. The Supreme Court's made a good decision. You know, it was a 50% decent decision because I see the likes of Starbucks and whatnot have now done a reverse on it, and General Motors have done a reverse on it. But a bit too late, actually.
There's enormous corporate discretion, enormous. And what's amazing in our family as well, a job was on the chopping block because until the contractors my husband work for were bought out by a company that decided not to enforce the mandate against people who stay at home, work from home, work remotely, and never go in. There was enormous discretion, and to the shame of American business, small business they're destroying. Those are their entrepreneurial, freedom-loving people, but the corporate. Enormous discretion, and the choice was to go with the Biden agenda or the agenda you echo in Britain.
I also see someone's just said, Alana, that Justice Kavanaugh sold out. I wonder.
It was coming. Yeah.
I mean, he's proven useless, like so many of these other fake conservatives, which Trump nominated, by the way, with great hullabaloo to the bench, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think his most conservative moment was when he stood up to those deranged Me Too slobberers in Congress.
That was about it, though. I think after that, he's been tamed. We've got a couple of things I want to bring up. Talking of boosters, because we want to keep on boosters. Actually, can we bring up, first of all, this is interesting. If we can, the slide I see. Israel has decided that the fourth dose isn't good enough against Omicron. So I don't know if that means they're going to go for a fifth dose or if that really does mean that the booster program's in trouble. But you, Alana, wrote a very interesting column, which I'd like us to bring up as well, if we can bring that up next. And maybe you can just give us your top line on it. Here we go. Hopefully coming up slowly, but there it is. It's bubbling up from the bottom. Don't be a Pollyanna. The COVID booster racket is here to stay for now. As ever, Alana, you and I are very aligned, even though we don't always talk about
It's the sardonic, you're Irish, but sometimes you go as British.
Both,
yes. I mean, it's that pessimistic conservatism that we have, whereas Americans tend to be more optimistic, Pollyanna-like. Our very keen observer of this whole racket is Alex Berenson. Yes. And he was saying, wave the white flag, the pharmaceutical industry and the government. Boosters do not work. The European Medicines Agency has said this is not the strategy to go by. You know, they didn't say outright that inundating the immune system might be dangerous and perilous. They just said no. This is not really the way to go. But in any case, most researchers, even the corrupt CDC, etc., think that the boosters offer weeks of protection against severe side effects. Weeks, not. Right. So, however, to wave the white flag, these people are not going to be doing that. And in fact, Pfizer already said that by March, they'll be ready to go with an Omicron specific vaccination booster. Now, why? If variants come and go, and the vaccine manufacturing process always lags. The I mean, always lags the variance, you know. So,
totally agree. Yeah.
The only reason, David, is the fact that they are quite confident that, they have the state power behind them, and that their investment in this booster, in this vaccine, will not be in vain, because the state will be able to enforce mandates on that.
Yeah, in actual fact, Alana, again, one of my regular followers, Kim, he says, having spent time in Israel in the 1980s, I can't believe that Israel's gone down this vaccine route. And I got to admit, I mean, we've talked about this before, it's shocked me to see, I mean, I think some people, I've seen Israel referred to as Fizzreal, P with the taking Pfizer and Israel together. And there's a degree of truth in that. I mean, they seem to have completely bought in lock, stock, and two smoking barrels to the jab and the boosters. Everything you say in that article, by the way, is I completely agree with. And by the way, folks, do make sure you follow Alana on her Birdie blog, which I think we got links to below as well, so that you can read what she says. But you're right. Anyone who is saying, as Alex Berenson is, think this is the white flag, it's not. No, I don't want to be a pessimist, but I want to be honest and a realist. And that's why I agree with everything you've written. They are not giving up on jabs. They'll give up with other stuff, Alana. They'll even give up potentially with masks and some other restrictions. They'll do that. But they want the jabs. And so this is false hope. And I think it's important. We talk about hard truth. This is a hard truth we're laying down.
No way of explaining why this monster man, we won't use the other M word for the head of Pfizer, who's an absolute monster of a man. He obviously smart enough, plenty smart to know that by March, the Omicron will have fizzled, or at least it is absolutely. That's the other thing. It is not a severe illness for most people. Yet he's going to forge ahead with an enormous investment, and you don't make such an investment at the corporate level if you don't have guarantees and assurances that there's the tyrannical backup of the state to make people take this potion, this hemlock, right? So that's why they're doing this. So I don't think that we can wave they're waving the white flag. And the CDC hasn't yet admitted that it's very murky to me. Does this prevent hospitalization? And I haven't seen, you can maybe fill me in, I haven't seen the numbers of, is it true that only the unvaccinated are admitted as severely ill to hospitals?
That's a complete
mistake. It doesn't make sense when you see the hundreds of thousands of infected daily. How many unvaccinated remain? The numbers belie that kind of calculus.
Fundamentally, on actual government data in the UK and in many other countries around the world, roughly 70% of those in hospitals have been double jabbed. But the linguistic trick which the British government is playing, and I dare say the American government will play, is they've now said, 70% of those in ICUs and whatnot, they're non-boosted. So if you're double vaccinated, that makes you essentially unvaccinated, because you haven't taken the third dose of hemlock.
And David, are you an anti-vaxxer if you're not boosted?
Exactly, Alana. Yep, that's right.
I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just don't like this shit.
Well, I mean, the one thing I did say today on social media, being a wee bit controversial, I started off in 2020 being, broadly speaking, pro-vaccines were proven, but obviously I'm opposed to the so-called alleged COVID vaccines. But after 2 years of Big Pharma lying through its teeth, I reserve the right to question any vaccine. I want the science. I want the data. I want to understand stuff. And I don't think I'm alone in that, you know. So, and the other thing I wanted to say, by the way, someone's just said, Alex Berenson, I'll just repeat it verbatim, got his ass handed to him when he tried to discredit Dr. Robert Malone. That's right. Did you say that?
I love that. Yeah. That's a, thank you, the reader, for bringing that up. That was, why did he do that? That was so sneaky. Should we? Did you see that? Well, and in fact, Raymond Arroyo, who should take over from loudmouth Laura, who only values her own very limited voice and doesn't allow any guest to speak. But Raymond Arroyo actually had a quick, this is not get the guest, Alex, you know, and because Robert Malone was absolute class when Alex Berenson went at him and said, you are not the inventor of the mRNA platform. Yeah. And ivermectin does not work. You do us no favors. It was so unnecessary, and David said it wasn't very classy. But Robert Malone didn't even move like an absolute class gentleman. He cited his patents. He cited in the 1980s. He cited the patents that even the way they operationalized the patent. Even his name was on that. I don't know what the name for that is, but
The thing is, I don't know why Alex Berenson did that.
He's a smart. He's a smart Alec, and he's used to, you know, he's on Tucker, and a lot of people think that I don't give a shit about television. Never been asked, even though I'm the dirty little secret of the movement. Have been for 23 years, right? But but he obviously feels very entitled to his stardom, and he was trying to take down someone who is controversial but brilliant.
I mean, the other thing I wanted to add to your own article, which I think is, as I say, I completely agree with, one of my biggest concerns regarding the boosters is it strikes me that if you look by country and look at the most vaccinated people, like say Ireland, that's a good example, 92%. I mean, they're triple vaxxed to the eyeballs. They've got the highest level of COVID. So I wonder, and I've speculated upon this, and that's all it is, does the more you vaccinate, does that actually weaken your body's natural immune system and make you more vulnerable to, well to anything, Alana, any respiratory disease?
Any excess, deductive reasoning, what you're doing is deductive reasoning, but you're not supposed to do deductive reasoning, according to the CDC. That makes you an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, it does. The worst thing.
Any excess is going to weigh, except chocolate.
So I think we agree boosters ain't going anywhere. These large, giant, multi-billion pound corporations like Pfizer, like Moderna, like AstraZeneca, wherever they are, they're in this for the long game. They will not be going away, folks. And Alana and I are just making it really clear. Wish we could be optimists, but we're not Pollyannas, you know. As an expression I've often used, Alana, hope makes a great breakfast, but a poor supper. And therefore, you've got to be a bit careful that you don't live in Pollyanna world. Now, I get our time shot by so fast, but I'm not going to let this go. I'm not letting you go. Just literally in a couple of minutes, Max. Australia, we saw the whole Novak Djokovic being thrown out. He was thrown out because he wasn't double jab, representing a massive threat to the Australian continent. And in doing so, I reckon Australia showed themselves up for a bunch of neo-fascist monsters. What do you think?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said that better. I think also this man apparently is not just any tennis player. The fact that the tournament is going ahead without the best tennis player in the world is very significant, isn't it? I mean, you have a bunch of second besters now feeling quite comfortable at competing. But hey, talk to the hand, because no one's watching you. You didn't stand up for this man. And in my opinion, you know, COVID has just given cover to a bunch of busybodies, primarily women, let's say that. Let's be very busy. Women and their lapdog medics to go after the exceptional, the thoughtful, because this man is actually quite. I heard a little bit about if he's. You'll know more about tennis than I do, but he's game plan. It's very analytical, and I'm sure
he's a perfect
male specimen in terms of health. I'm sure his approach to his own health is very similar, and he is not vaccinated. You know, we have to, in America, we hear, at least on Fox News, the only quibble they will have is, do you have natural immunity or no? Not, do you have natural rights to refuse? This gentleman, whether he has immunity or not, he has the right. You know, there's a quite a big tennis court, right? He's not breathing on anyone. This was just an effort on the part of really mediocre people, a penal colony of a country. Australia's a disgrace.
Someone on the stream
of the Australian Open, which should maybe be called the Australian Closed.
Someone on the streams called it Australia, because it's a large penal colony, which is remarkable. And although having said that, Alana, I know some people in Australia who are unjabbed and who have an extraordinarily difficult life under these monsters. And as you put up in that tweet, which we brought up there just a minute or two ago, Serbia has actually got the moral high ground. I agree with that point. It has, which is, it's, you know, not something necessarily I would have automatically assumed, but in this scenario, you're dead right. It's got the absolute moral high ground over the COVID cartel down under. And I'm really pleased that Serbia has, united in support of Djokovic.
That country's behind him. And in fact, when they interview the people who welcomed him back, they were highly intelligent. There was a great caption that came out of those interviews of the Serbians. He will rise like a phoenix from the ashes. I loved that. These were intelligent supporters who, you know, I'm seeing an inversion that the West has become decadent and defeatist and miserable, and you're seeing some resistance elsewhere. But yeah. I will not, I know you want to wrap up, but I will not let you go, David, before we mentioned, we were speaking about, the coveted TV spot. You know, you're nothing unless you're on television. I don't know if it's the same celebrity culture that actually draws the stupidest people to the limelight. But I'm very disappointed at Tucker Carlson, who's elevated Enes Kanter Freedom not once but twice for his activism, not for people like this Novak Djokovic or so many vaccine resistors and the tyranny that is happening in our own Western world. Not for that. Oh, no. What is Enes Kanter Freedom, now a regular feature on Tucker Carlson, to remind us Americans, not of America first, our countrymen and their freedoms, Whittle, of the, I can't even spell it, the Uyghurs.
The Uyghurs. Oh, yes, of course. Yes. We mustn't forget the Uyghurs. That's right. That's what America needs to focus on, not the more salient points. We get the same people as well here, Alana, you know, and they get elevated as well on prime time, the sort of media platforms that are denied to people like you and I, because we would not instantly turn on our own home.
And Tucker, of all people, the Uyghurs is the cause célèbre. It's like every moron says, it used to be the Dalai Lama, who's a good bloke. But now everybody, a 15-year-old on Instagram, the Uyghurs,
Are we allowed to talk about Uyghur terrorism? No, we mustn't talk about that, Alana, because that blows the narrative. Oh, you mean they're a little bit terroristy? Why might that be? Oh, well, there's a reason.
You know, it's this elevating this idea of the global citizen, you know, that before we are concerned with our Bill of Rights being violated and your ancient unwritten constitution, you know, the British ancient unwritten constitution being violated daily, we have to speak about these cause célèbre. I don't think so. America first was perfectly respectable. And I'm with that billionaire who said as much. And I'm not with a millionaire, Enes Kanter Freedom, who's become the face, not of the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, but of the Uyghurs.
And so it is. I mean, well, again, we don't have time to talk about it. Maybe next week we might get to the shenanigans happening in Russia and Ukraine and the fact that certain people seem to be wanting war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. That's what you and I know, Alana. And yet you can hear the saber rattling from the Ukraine right across the West. So see, it's these monsters that we're trying to deal with. But look, we have come to exceedingly fast, I have to say to you tonight, or our end. I want to thank everybody for all the comments which I've seen streaming up and down. Appreciate you guys being here. I hope you've enjoyed Hard Truth with Alana Mercer and myself. This is a regular thing that we do every week, and we've brought it together. It's going out in Rumble tomorrow, so we're all for free speech platforms, folks. That's what we're about. But anyway, thanks. Yeah, see your comments. Somebody says, war is plan C. Oh, isn't that right? And maybe Alana and I will turn to this one next week, because it deeply concerns me, the stuff that's being put out from Washington and from London.
And there's a absolute reversion to the neoconservative wicked mean. You see that on the media as well. This is as if Trump never happened.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and so maybe we will get to that one. But for tonight, folks, there you go. We've tried to tackle the big issues, put them to bed for tonight anyway. Thank you all very much for being here in the stream. Alana, as always, a million thanks to you.
Thank you, David.
We'll catch up with each other same time next week. Thanks, everybody, and see you then. Bye.